if you can't see it. And we are recording the meeting. And I just got a wave from Sheldon Parker. Thank you. Good morning, Sheldon. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And how are you?
Very well. Thank you. Very well. It's energizing for me to be here with all of you. So this is good.
Hey.
We're going to start in just a moment as soon as our director is back on the line. And I wanted to thank all of you. A number of you were on. Sorry, accidentally muted. Thank you all to folks who came on early. My sincere apologies that we didn't start on time. We had two different printers jam, so it's going to be one of those days. But we're glad to be here with you all. And we are recording this, and the recording will be posted on the website hopefully tomorrow, along with all of the slides. So all of the information that we're presenting today will be accessible afterwards. And feel free to share the link to the recording and the slides to with any of your colleagues or folks in community organizations that you might be working with. I'm going to now turn it over to our esteemed director, Dr. Rodri Durst-Davies. Hi, Rodri, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for being here today. I just want to welcome everyone to the applicant webinar. And my name is Rodri Durst-Davies. I'm the new director of CHRP. I'm going to get off camera, actually. Sorry. I'm the new director of CHRP, and we're very excited to have everyone here today to discuss our new funding opportunities for this next grant year. Before we begin, I want to discuss, obviously, some housekeeping issues. The first one is this standard Zoom etiquette. So please, everyone, mute yourselves to cut down on any background noise and use the raise hand emoji if you have a question that you'd like to ask. We ask that you actually use the chat feature first to ask any questions. We would like to record a written record of all the questions so we can post them online at a later date. Any responses that we give you verbally during this will be transposed and included on our website. But we will do our best to answer any questions that we can today. Obviously, we are recording this session, and both the recording and this slide deck will be available on our website within a few days. Now I'm going to let the rest of the team introduce themselves. Lisa?
Thank you, Rodri. Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Lobstanga, program officer here at CHRP, and very happy to be with you all today and can't wait to see what you're going to submit in response to these RFPs. I'll turn it to Ginger next.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ginger Hintz, and I'm the program analyst for CHRP. Welcome. Nancy.
Hello, and I'm Nancy Chamberlain from our Contracts and Grants office, and we'll be going through the Smart Simple step-by-step portion of the slides. Thank you.
So this is sort of the overall agenda today. We're going to begin discussing the program in general. We're going to highlight some new procedures for this cycle, and we'd like to spend about 5 to 10 minutes on each of the individual solicitations. And then Nancy will go over the Smart Simple platform for about 30 minutes. And then we'll have opportunities twice during this to address any questions that people may have. Next slide, please. One more, please. Thank you. I'd just like to remind everyone of our agency's mission and strategic direction, which can be found on our website. This document provides guidance towards the program's overall strategic direction for all of the proposals that we'll be discussing today. And all the proposals are intended to be supported by these statements. And we have four unique funding opportunities to discuss for this year. The ideas behind each of these were developed based on feedback from both current and former grantees, the latest scientific literature, our CHRP staff, our advisory council, and feedback from multiple stakeholders and thought leaders in the field. The development of these RFPs was done by CHRP staff in collaboration with our advisory council, who provided recommendations and feedback on how to operationalize each of the topics today. The four RFPs, as they are presented, are measuring the impacts of racism on the HIV epidemic in California, basic biomedical and translational science discovery initiatives, social and behavioral intervention pilot studies to support HIV prevention and care, and finally, community-centered demonstration projects to support implementation of long-acting injectable PrEP adoption across California. Next slide. So there's a few things we'd like to note. We have streamlined our process of doing questions. Historically, CHRP, people were able to ask questions about proposals basically up until the due date. While questions related to the submission process, our Smart Simple platform, or about financing your studies can be asked up until sort of the last second, we would ask that questions related to your scientific response be submitted through our website or through email by May 5th, and we will post responses about 2 weeks later. If something comes up that you feel is an error or something that was an oversight on our part, please don't hesitate to email us and let us know. We will assess it, sort of the response, and based on the nature of the question, figure out the best way to respond or answer. Sometimes people do find fatal flaws at the last minute, and we'd like you to let us know if that's something. Next slide or next bullet. All of these have competitive LOIs, and the process for that is listed in each of the individual RFPs. Two of the proposals, the basic biomed and the social behavioral pilots, are intended for early investigators specifically. Please try to link your proposal work to how it impacts one or more of the epidemic control strategies, such as the ending the epidemic strategy. Most of you already do this, but it does make it easier for the scientific reviewers, all of whom are not in California, to be able to assess this work. Finally, at the full application stage, we have made some changes. You'll notice in the scoring section, there's a greater emphasis on the implementation and feasibility and sustainability of your work. There's another slide for this we'll go into. This impacts RFPs differently. We ask that you include, in addition to the study design and implementation strategy, also a management plan and dissemination activities. We do also encourage you to include, in addition to reference sections, you may include things like acronym lists or definitions or a table of contents in addition, either at the end or at the beginning. This helps reviewers with reading the applications and understanding, especially for ones that are particularly complex. And again, these sections are not included in the overall page count. And we are following the NIH policy regarding including sex as a biological variable. Please keep this in mind when you're designing your studies. Next bullet. We will have diversity supplements available for all of these mechanisms at the end of the first year. And lastly, is that the UC indirect rates are going to increase this summer to 35%. We have absolutely no control over this, unfortunately. Next slide. So the, go back one. So over the, one more. Thank you. You'll see in the RFPs, we have outlined sections we'd like to see in your overall approach, including sort of your overall scientific research plan and design and implementation strategy, including conceptual frameworks if they're applicable, implementation strategy and dissemination plan. What may be new is a management plan. This is our attempt to allow you an opportunity to discuss your agency's capabilities in managing this work and how you might weather unexpected things such as extended IRB delays, another pandemic. Let's hope that doesn't happen, but we've already weathered one. As well as if you lose key staff along the way. I think this is important to ensure effective delivery of your projects. Next slide. So I'm going to turn this over to Lisa now.
Very good. Thank you, Rodri. So the first of our four that we are going to discuss is measuring the impact of racism on the HIV epidemic in California. We are leading with our anti-racism work intentionally. CHRP intends to acknowledge the historical and cumulative aspects impacts of racism and to address those impacts by funding rigorous pilot studies for California investigators and community-based organizations that they could build upon as together we seek to dismantle the systems which have perpetuated these injustices. We intend to fund methodological pilot studies, and your proposals will ideally develop, test, or validate methods of measuring these impacts on our communities. Demonstrate to us that you would be a good scientific citizen in this new cohort of scientists that we will be establishing with this funding mechanism. Show how the work will yield the data needed to compete for larger grants. They're pilots, so that's the path we'd like to see you taking. Under the expectations section, there's detail in the RFP regarding anti-racism frameworks and community-centered approaches. You'll want to demonstrate that the specific aspect of this field that you'll be addressing is significant and relevant to our California epidemic communities. We suggest that you link to data in the Office of AIDS strategic plan and other documents related to their strategic plan. We work very closely with the Office of AIDS, and we'd like to see more interdependence there. Reviewers will want to see a robust approach and a rigorous study design. If you're not quite sure what the reviewers would be looking for in terms of these aspects, we'd suggest working with or seeking out a new mentor and getting some guidance on that. So two others of our RFPs are for early career stage investigators only, but this one is for any career stage. That's actually up at the top under award type. So any career stage is fine, early stage investigators as well as established investigators. And to better understand, next slide, there we go. So the review criteria are shown in the second box. Note that they are different for the LOI stage versus the full application stage. The anti-racism framework and theory, as well as the significance and potential impact, are important factors for both the LOI and the full application stages. But in the full application, there is a shift to feasibility and approach that's weighted more heavily at that stage. And on the third box, the total cost or maximum budget is $337,000 per project, which includes 35% indirect. That's over 2 years. So that's the maximum, the final number at the bottom. And your working budget of direct costs would be $250,000 or $125,000 per year for 2 years. That's the overview of the measuring the impact of racism on the HIV epidemic in California. I'm going to go on now to the second one, our basic bio and translational science discovery initiative. We're proud to offer this funding mechanism approximately every 2 years. This time we have changed it to support early career stage investigators only. This award intends to fund pilot studies focused on the basic biomedical and translational sciences on the topic of HIV for early investigators. And what we're really looking for here with this funding mechanism is not a next logical step in a scientific endeavor, but a first step for a new endeavor. And your structure should be such that your results would be useful in securing follow-on funding. We're also looking for things that are particularly timely, for example, responding to any new developments in the HIV and STI epidemics. Let me take a minute and say, though, that there are no preconceived preferential topic areas or other aspects. We're open to anything. We're just mentioning that things do change over the 40 years we've been offering this funding mechanism, and we encourage folks to look to what's new in the field as you're considering whether to apply for this funding. And so for scoring criteria, Innovation, as well as significance and potential impact, are important factors at the LOI stage. And again, in the full application, that focuses more on feasibility and approach. Total cost for this one is $270,000, including the 35% indirect over 2 years. So the working budget then is $200,000 over 2 years. And now I'll turn it back to Rodri for the social and behavioral interventions.
Great, thank you so much. So similar to the basic biomedical initiative that was just discussed, this award intends to fund pilot studies for early investigators, focused specifically on social and behavioral research as it relates to HIV prevention and or treatment strategies. These are also 2-year awards. We want to focus on innovative projects, and we are very excited to offer this. This is the first time I believe we've offered this type of award. Next box. So as you can see, similar to the basic biomedical and the LOI stage, innovation and collaboration and significance and potential impact are very important, but for the full application, approach and feasibility become more important. So we understand for the most part that these are going to be small studies. We would like to suggest that you describe your implementation and management plan in detail as best as you can, while also discussing the impact and scalability is important. But again, we understand these are small pilot studies. Last box. So this is about a total, $310,500 over 2 years. This includes the 35% indirect cost. And the last one is our community-centered demonstration projects to support implementation of long-acting injectable PrEP adoption across the state of California. So this is intended to be a multi-investigator demonstration projects, which is what we plan on funding, aimed to support the topic. While standalone proposals are welcome, we do encourage collaborations between academic, non-academic, clinical and public institutions for these awards. Additionally, we would encourage you to sort of think boldly about how such interventions can be crafted and how you can involve traditional like hospitals and clinics along with non-traditional like pop-up settings as part of your response. This may include best practices learned from both COVID and MPOX outbreaks with respect to implementation strategies to ensure that key marginalized populations are included in recruitment. Additionally, we also are interested in how such projects can be scaled and how they could potentially be evaluated to ensure continuous project improvement. This should be part of your management and dissemination plan. Important topics to include are how will recipients be able to continue their medication after the study period ends? How could findings be used to inform new programs or policies? Or what are the sustainability plan to ensure that best practices will be adopted and improved upon across institutions of interest? And how are you going to ensure equitable access to key risk populations in both recruitment and beyond the life of the study? The review criteria, as you can see in the LOI stage, is a little bit different from the full application. Again, the innovation and collaboration are very important for the LOI, but the approach section for this is going to be key and critical. Lastly, the overall cost is approximately $2 million over 4 years. That's a direct cost of about $1.5 million total, including the 35% indirect cost. So I just want to take a moment to say that we have heard from some people that this figure may be insufficient to fund the types of robust interventions that people are sort of envisioning. And we absolutely hear you on that. We are looking into the possibility of securing additional funding for this, but we can't really elaborate on that at this point. So we would suggest, at least for the LOI, that you write to this with the current funding structure that exists. I am going to address, however, one elephant in the room, which is the impact of the cost of the drug on potentially your budget and your scope. Currently, CHRP is in talks with Veeve Healthcare about avenues to secure drug for these studies. This is similar to the oral PrEP projects that we embarked on in 2011 and 2015, where we partnered with Gilead. The bottom line is that we are working hard to find a way so that drug costs do not impact your overall study budget, and you can focus these resources on personnel costs, subcontracts, incentives, or any other study-related costs. Currently, we are looking at potentially two funding options, which we can discuss later. First is that you work directly through your clinics, pharmacies, or hospitals that you may be partnering with to secure drugs for this study through existing funding or existing programs that exist for securing PrEP. The second option is upon receiving CHRP funding that you enter into a contract with Veeve to secure donated drug for your study. We understand that both options will involve additional steps, potentially pre and post award. In our conversations with Veeve, any CHRP funded project would still need to go through their agency's scientific independent review process before they would be able to provide drug for your study. So the bottom line is we understand these issues are complicated. We wish we had all the answers right now, but we don't. And we understand that's frustrating. And we do apologize for that. We are going to be having a second webinar at a later date, specifically for this proposal for the invited applicants after the LOI decisions have been made. At this point, we ask that you do not contact Veeve directly, as they are aware of the request and aware of this solicitation. And they are potentially, we are talking about tackling this collectively as opposed to individually. So any communication would have to take place at a later date. Next slide, please. Lisa?
All right. Thanks for that, Rodri. Wanted to take a moment just to put all four RFPs on one page to show that three of them are pilot study level versus the long-acting injectable PrEP are larger demonstration projects. The comparative budgets, these numbers are just the directs. So you can refer to the earlier slides or the RFPs to see the total cost, that's that bottom line final number. The PI requirements, the two of the pilot ones require early stage PIs only. And I saw the question in the chat, we'll come back and answer that when we when we're answering all the questions. And note that you're limited in terms of submissions for the top three, that's measuring the impact of racism, basic bio and social behavior pilots, only one LOI and only one full application as PI. You could, however, submit one LOI as PI to the Measuring the Impact of Racism RFP, and then participate as a co-investigator or an advisor or any other key personnel, just not as PI or co-PI on another one for basic bio and even another one for the others, but only one as PI. For the long-acting injectable PrEP, that one, you're allowed multiple LOIs and multiple full applications are allowed. Let's see. And for each of these, multiple PIs are allowed. We especially like to see collaboration with community-based organizations and to see those folks recognized as equal partners in the work, if that's appropriate and true. Let's see, next slide. Key dates and timelines. The timetable is here. The questions due by May 5th. And note that we've staggered the submission dates for some of the proposals. So two of them are due, the LOI is due May 18th, the other two a week later. Similarly, full apps are due July 20th for two and a week later for the others. Award notifications will be sent out by December 1st with award start dates as early as February 1st. Recognizing that sometimes it takes longer to pre-funding process, but that's the earliest award start date that you could take advantage of. All right, it's time for questions, my favorite part. I see that some of you have already taken advantage of the chat. Thank you very much for that. It allows us to document it. This goes to transparency and fairness so that folks who aren't able to be here can also have access to the information that we'll share. We'll publish all of these questions and our responses on the website. And then after today, the mechanism to get further questions to us is emailing our chrp@ucop.edu. We actually use that quite a bit. So suggest that you add that to your safe senders or address book or whatever, so that those don't go to your spam. We've definitely had folks be compromised because of our things going to their spam. All right. Let's get to the questions that are in the chat. And Ginger, I can actually see these. So I'll go ahead. And Roger, if you want to unmute as well, we can determine together who's going to respond to which. The first question I see, I'll go ahead and take this to get started. It's an early stage investigator. Very good question, and because it's very specific, there is quite a specific answer. There are details in the RFPs with links to the NIH policy, and we specify early stage investigator for CHRP constitutes the NIH criteria, which is that you have never received an R01 or larger grant from NIH as PI. In addition to the NIH criteria, you also cannot have had a CHRP grant as PI of any stage. So if you've gotten one of the basic bio grants before as PI, you're no longer considered a new or early career stage investigator here at CHRP. And there are links in the RFPs to the NIH policy as well, in case you have specific questions about a specific type of award that you may have received and whether it disqualifies you as an early stage investigator. And let me know if I didn't fully answer your question and just chat it again and we can come back. I'm going next to Nina's question. And Rodri, maybe you might like to take this.
Sure.
How
many proposals? So the number of expected proposals is in the listed in each of the RFP. I can't recall the exact numbers for all off the top of my head, but I do know for the LAI prep study, we envision potentially funding between 3 and 6 studies. I believe that's what we put in there. And for the remainder, I believe it's in, I forget the name of the exact section that it's in, but it is in all the RFPs. Actually, Felisa, if you want to continue, I can find the section and let people know.
Sure. Actually, I would add to that that, in fact, we don't have a predetermined number that we would fund for each RFP. Rather, the number that we fund is determined by the scores that y'all earn. So we see, wait and see what the scores are. There's typically a sort of natural break between the top cohort and other folks. We also, there's a lot we could say about that process, but we wait and see how many are above the line versus, or excuse me, how many are in the fundable range versus not, and then determine of those which ones we want to fund from a programmatic perspective. So even we have numbers in mind based on our history, but the true answer to the question, I would say, is if there's only one that's in the fundable range and that we programmatically want to fund, then we'd only fund one. If there are a whole bunch, then it becomes a different story. So we don't have a predetermined number. We do have a range that's just to guide us for budgeting. Rodri, I don't know if you'd like to clarify or change any of those things that I just said.
No, yes to all of that. I will say, though, I believe it's section 6 in the RFPs. There's a section called available funding, anticipated number of awards, and that lists the anticipated number and the range that. From a budgetary perspective, but Lisa's absolutely right. This all comes down to what the reviewers' comments are on these individual RFPs, the number that we actually end up funding.
Thank you for that, Rodri. And I see that Rodri's responded to Dr. Buckbinder's question, do budgets need to allocate funds equivalently across years? Or can the amount be different as long as the total is less than or equal to the maximum? Yes. absolutely, you can change allocations across years. As Rodri mentioned, it can be unequally distributed to allow, for example, for a ramp-up phase where you might have fewer personnel or not have clinic operations, et cetera, and then a ramp down when you're doing analysis and no longer having contact with patients, et cetera. And even for those two-year budgets, you could be, the 2 years don't have to be equal, even though they're much shorter timeframes. And the next question is for the early stage investigator pilot studies. So that's two of the mechanisms. That's the basic bio and the social behavioral pilots. The RFP states that postdoc fellows are eligible to apply, but that the PI must commit minimum of 10% or 1.2 person months of effort in each project year with support. Given that T32 funded postdoc fellows cannot accept FTE support, would it be acceptable to apply if we are able to commit over 10% time to this project, but would be unable to accept FTE support, at least until completion of postdoc fellowship years? This is a wonderful example of, as soon as we publish it, you all help us find the things that we didn't address in the RFPs. This is a wonderful question, and I'm really glad you noticed this, Dr. Metani. Yes, I'm going to say that we'll respond to this in detail in writing, but in general, we welcome applications from folks, for example, who are T32 funded postdoc fellows. And we note the constraint that you explained here very well. Thank you for that. And yes, we would work with you to make sure that you would be able to accept this funding without having FTE support for yourself. So we'll answer this more fully. I propose, Rodri, if you would agree with me in our written responses later, but the bottom line is from our values, we would definitely welcome your applications, and we would like to fund folks who are already selected for the highly competitive T32 postdoc positions. Yes. Rodri, would you agree?
Sure, 100%. Yeah, and we'll absolutely get a detailed response in writing.
Great. And the next question is, do you need to be an ESI at the time of award or at the time of application? Well, that's an interesting question. I'm going to guess that this might be thinking of a situation where a person currently would qualify as an early stage investigator, but has an R01 application in the hopper at NIH. And should that R01 be awarded between the time that they apply and the time that funding decisions are made or funds are awarded from CHRP, if they then lose that ESI eligibility because they're now have received NIH funding. And this is something that we actually have dealt with multiple times in the past, but I'm going to say that I'd like to confer, and Rodri, if you would agree, let's address this in writing.
Yeah, let's discuss this. We'll discuss this internally and get this in writing to everybody.
That sounds good. Yeah. I will offer that when we've dealt with this in the past, it's really been on a case-by-case basis. So there are a number of factors that could be taken into consideration, but I anticipate that, I can say that in the past, there hasn't been a hard line decision on this. So we'll reply more in writing. Those are all the things that I see in the chat. We welcome further comments, and I see a hand up. Dr. Garcia, I would welcome your question. We'd also like you to put it in the chat. You could do that after you speak if you would like, so that we can document it. But yes, please go ahead, Dr. Garcia.
Thank you. It was just related to the ESI question because I'm eligible as an ESI at the time of application, but I think at the time of funding, that's when I phase out as an ESI because of the time constraints based on NIH.
Time constraints from NIH, so not based on pending applications that would move you out of the never had an R01 category, but rather, tell me more about the time constraint you're thinking of.
At the time of application, I think I'm eligible as an ESI, but at the time of award, I think my ESI status is over.
Because of elapsed time and the time limit from NIH, like 10 years beyond terminal degree?
Yes.
Got it. That's an important clarification on that question. Thank you for raising that. And again, we'll incorporate that into our answer in writing. Apologize that I can't give you a definitive now, but I want to make sure that we get it right. Quite welcome. Thanks. We welcome any other questions, and I'll just riff here for a minute to make sure anybody who's shy can go ahead and put their question in the chat. But seeing none for now, we will go on and have Nancy teach us all about using Smart Simple, our online grants application and administration database. And we'll stay on the line. We have this call scheduled till 11:30. We'll stay on as long as anyone has questions. So after Nancy's presentation, we'll have more time for questions, both about the administrative side and the scientific aspect. So I'm going to bring up Nancy's slides. And let's make sure that we have Nancy live in the meeting. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Sorry, I'm having some computer issues, so I am on my phone, but I will take you through the Smart Simple application process, specifically regarding the letter of intent. So you must prepare and submit your letter of intent online using Smart Simple. The link and detailed instructions are available at the CHRP website. All users accessing Smart Simple for the first time should click Register Here to register and create an account. We'll talk about this in the next slide. Applicants who have previously registered with Smart Simple or who are returning to complete an AIM Progress LOI should enter their username and password under Login and click the Login button on the Smart Simple homepage. If you have login issues, please contact us at the RGPO Grants web email address that will appear on our last slide. Next slide, please. This is a screenshot of the Register Here page. You should enter all details, click the I am not a robot box, and click Submit to create your account. Once an account is created, you can return to the main Smart Simple page and log in using your account information. If you complete this form and receive a message indicating that an account with your email address already exists, please return to the main login page and click the Forgot Password link. Next slide. Once you are logged into Smart Simple, you can access the letter of intent materials by clicking on Available funding opportunities in the upper, towards the upper right-hand corner anyway. It may have moved a bit. You will see a list of all open funding opportunities. Find the row that corresponds with the award type you are interested in and click Apply. Next slide. Once you click on Apply, complete the eligibility quiz and review the helpful hints. And next. You can click through the five section headings, title page, applicant, principal investigator, project information, budget, signature page to complete the LOI. And next, please note that you must click submit LOI when you are done. Otherwise, your LOI will only be saved in the system but not submitted to us. Once you've submitted an LOI, you will get an email confirmation. If you do not receive this email, first check your spam folder, then please contact us so we can confirm that your LOI has been submitted. For the purpose of today's webinar, I'm not going to show every application section, but if you have questions or need guidance on how to complete each of these sections, please refer to the instructions and contact us if you will need assistance. So once you've received our email notification saying that your LOI is approved, you can then log into Smart Simple once again and start your full application. Once you're in the system, you will be defaulted to the My Applications home screen. Then you should click on the In Progress Applications and locate the LOI that you submitted to our program. And under the status column, it should say Invited to Full Application. This is also how you can check your LOI status. If you've submitted your LOI, it will say LOI submitted. Once our staff approves your LOI, you'll receive an email and you will get to this point in the process and start the full application. You will not have access to the application materials until your LOI is approved and the status changes to invited to full application. Next slide. Once you click on Open, the system will ask you to confirm your LOI information. Please click Continue to go to the first step of the full application, which is the title page for you to edit your title and project dates if you wish. And you will also be able to access the various application sections that appear horizontally across the top of the page. And you can also, can also download the instructions at the top of each page and download templates and upload required attachments to the documentation section. And next, once you've completed each section, you would then need to click Submit to Signing Official when you are done. Once the signing official submits the application, you will receive a confirmation email. We will discuss the signing official's role in more detail in the next slide. Again, for the purpose of today's meeting, we're not going to go through all of these sections in detail. The instructions on how to complete them can be downloaded in Smart Simple at the time of the full application. You initiate the full application. And if you have questions, you can always email or call us. However, next we will go through two sections that are different than in previous years as a result of our changing to Smart Simple, adding a signing official and completing the budget. Next slide. I want to highlight some items on the budget tab, namely adding institution contacts and then completing the actual budget. To access those sections, you first click on the budget tab and then click open. The first subtab within the budget tab is the institution contacts. And as in our previous cycle, signatures are collected electronically in Smart Simple. You will submit the application electronically to your signing official, who must review and submit the application through Smart Simple by the application deadline. Please plan your submission timelines accordingly. You must add the signing official, fiscal contact, and contracts and grants contact as institution contacts. Please note that the PI cannot be the same person as the signing official. To add the signing official, you would locate the signing official field, start typing your signing official's name or email address, and select from the list that populates. If you cannot find their name in the list, you can skip down to the Can't Find Your Contact You're Looking For question and click on the Can't Find Signing Official radio button, and then add the new signing official button. A new window will open for you to add the signing official's information. You can repeat these steps to add your fiscal contact and contracts and grants contact. And then please click Save to save your work. A read-only view of your entries will display on the Project Contacts tab. Thank you. The next sub-tab within the Budget tab is the Budget Summary. Click on this tab to access the budget form. And then click Edit button and a separate budget window will open to enable you to enter your budget details. We will discuss this page on the next slide. And if you have subcontracts, a separate budget must be provided per subcontract by clicking on the subcontract details page. Okay, next slide. Okay, clicking the edit button will, let me see, sorry, yes, this slide, will open this screen to enter the budget details. You should scroll down to the personnel cost, salary and fringe, click the add button to add a new personnel expense and indicate the dollar amount by each year requested. The total will calculate at the end of the row. When you click save, the expense will populate in the budget summary at the end of the screen. You can repeat the step for each personnel expense in your budget. A text box is also available under each budget category to provide the budget justification relevant to that particular category. There's no character limit on the budget justification, though the expectation is that the justification be concise. Throughout the application, you'll see additional questions for which you're required to click on a button that will open a separate window for you to enter information, such as research demographics, milestones, and project personnel. Please refer to the application instructions for steps on accessing these windows and contact us if you have questions. Next slide, please. Once all the online questions and downloaded templates have been completed and uploaded to Smart Simple, the application is ready to be submitted through your institution's signing official. You must click Submit to Signing Official to complete the step. Your institution's signing official will receive an email notification to log in, review, and either submit the application or send the application back to you as the applicant PI for revision. Please note, the signing official must complete the step prior to the application deadline. So please, once again, plan your submission timelines accordingly. If the signing official's submission was successful, a confirmation message will appear on the screen and a confirmation email will be sent to the applicant PI and the signing official. And next slide. That brings me to the end of the Smart Simple presentation, and I'll turn it back to Lisa and Rodri. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I'll let Rodri chime in.
I think there's one more question, Lisa, that I think is appropriate for you to answer.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to read this question. For the basic biomedical and translational science discovery RFP, are postdoc fellows with private funding allowed to use it for future K99s? If this question is about what you, how CHRP funding might impact future funding under a K99, that's not a question for us. That's a question for your budget, your contracts and grants office, or your funding office, if I'm understanding the question correctly. I might not be, and then please clarify, and I'll come back to that again.
So that actually concludes the presentation. If there are additional questions about measuring the impacts of racism or on the basic biomedical, please email Lisa. Questions about the social behavioral interventions or the LAI prep, you can email myself, and you can email the sort of our RGPO grants email server. Nancy and her team will get back to you for questions related to Smart Simple, any technical issues, application instructions, and/or forms. And that is it. If there are no additional questions, we look forward to any questions coming in, and we are absolutely open to any other discussions people might have. If that's it, thank you very much, everybody, and we hope to see you soon. And we'll stay on the line if anyone has anything else that comes up for the next 5 minutes or so.